Ladies and gentlemen of the first class cabin of Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center, Flight 2012. I hope that your flight so far with us has been enjoyable. On behalf of Canadian Baptist Airways, we're flying you through this year. We hope it's not been too fast for you. But the captain at this point would like to announce that we're having our first in-flight service. Our first in-flight service for you. On other flights you might have taken, there's different choices that you have. And the different choices that you have, especially in first class, as you are, the different choices that you have, sometimes people choose mixed drinks because they want to deaden the fear. They want to lessen the pain. Sometimes, when you're in first class and you get the in-flight service, you want water to hydrate you, to give you life or to sustain such, to hydrate you. Sometimes, people ask for juice or sodas because the sugar gives them an energy that they can be attentive in the flight. Some people just don't want anything at all to drink. Some people turn and ask for the peanuts and the cookies because they in fact want to dehydrate themselves because the trip to the lavatory may be blocked by one of the carts. Or there may be a lineup. These different things that you can choose on our flight today in just a few moments can depend upon where you are in life. But it is the same thing as well in our flight in our lives, because we turn to the flight manual, and in the flight manual sometimes we look at it to see about things that can give us peace or deaden our senses, have us survive the fear. Sometimes we turn to our flight manual and we look for life's sustenance to give us the living water. Sometimes we turn to the flight manual and we want energy. We want something that will lift us up, give us a little sugar rush. Sometimes we turn to the flight manual and we're looking for something that will dehydrate us, to bring us back down to earth, to humble us. So you see, the in-flight service, when you think about it from a spiritual point of view, is not much different than the in-flight service when we go flying. It pertains to where we are in life and what we need. So as you think about what you need in life and where you're at and whether you want the mixed drink or the water or the soda or the juice, the captain has a few things if you'll just turn your attention to your screen. Because we'd like to share with you some of the travel that we've been on. For 4 weeks now, we've been flying. And as we've flown along, we have been making a pretty good headway. I know that some of you in the last little while have experienced turbulence and are a little unsettled in the flight. But granted, today, you'll experience something a little bit more stable as we fly along. As we fly, we know that from the nose camera that's available on our flight, that there's good flying ahead. It's stable weather. It's beautiful. And you're going to be able to enjoy the flight. Now, on your flight information, as you got it, perhaps now in your passport or on your ticket, you know there's some stopovers that we're going to make. So if you'll just turn your attention to the stopovers, we can now look at these places we're going to. We need to stop at Temptation Isle. We're going to go to the beautiful City of Struggle. We're going to stop at Death River. No takers there. We're going to stop as well at Persecution. And of course, my favorite, the historical streets of Hardship Painesville. None of you seem to be too attracted to our stopovers. No excursions you have planned. But in this flight, we do have stopovers. Because it doesn't seem that you're too excited about the stopovers, let me just share this with you. That's not the destination. The destination we go to are not those places that I just mentioned. There is another destination. So before you fall asleep, or before you put your electronic items in play, or before you drift off in daydreams, let me tell you about our destination. You'll like our destination. We've been flying along with Paul. As we've been flying along with Paul, who has gone before us, who is a flight attendant from another flight, if you will. We've been flying along with Paul in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you have it on your electronic device, please turn to the book of Romans. We no longer have in our bulletin, please turn off your electronic devices, but please don't play solitaire on them while I'm speaking. Just kidding. If you want to turn to the book of Romans, please do so. I just want to share with you something before Evan comes up and reads for us. As we've been looking at the book of Romans, last week we looked at retribution, restitution, and redemption. God's retribution, the payment for our sins that God requires, that has actually been paid for through restitution that He's provided through His Son's death on the cross. He's paid for His own retribution, our retribution for our sin, which has led to our redemption. Last week, if you'll recall, we spoke about this and we realized it was kind of like flying. Because there's four forces in flying, if I can remind you. The four forces in flying, similar to our life and our life's experience, are drag and weight. We feel that as human beings. We have drag and weight that keeps us down. And the two positive forces that keeps a plane up in the air are lift and thrust. Lift, buoyancy. Thrust, being moved forward. And a plane is in control when thrust and drag counterbalance, in fact, overbalance thrust, drag and weight. And that's what God has done for us. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has given lift and thrust that keeps us aloft, using the plane analogy. We'll go on this week, and we're going to look this week at peace and process and passion. Just before Evan reads, for us, peace and process and passion are one of those incredible dynamics in the Word of God that when you read this, it goes both directions, kind of like a GO train. It goes both directions from the point of view that you can read peace, which brings about process, which brings about passion, or you can read passion, which drives a process and brings you peace. It goes both ways. It's incredible when texts come out like these in terms of understanding them, because they're so intricately interwoven by God that these three things you can see throughout. I've asked Evan to come up and read for us. So Evan, please come.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him?
Thank you, Evan. Thank you for sharing with us and reading this text. As you can see, after our AGM, we're inviting all of you to be part of what we do. Evan, just home for the weekend, asked him if he would read this morning after talking to him on Friday night at KIC. You're welcome to come talk to Sandy or Don and I in terms of being involved. This is an amazing text. It's an amazing text when we grasp a hold of it. For the first thing that's given to us is peace. Throughout this life, you know as well as I that we use lots of placebos. We use lots of things that stand for peace, that we attempt to draw peace out of. As I mentioned earlier, using a flight analogy, people could use alcohol, or music, or daydreaming, or wealth, or all kinds of different things to stand for what's given to you here. Maybe your week has been such that you need to sigh a couple times. Breathe deeply. Because this message is incredibly powerful in just a short few words here. It says first, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Drink it in. Absorb it. You have peace with God. It's incredible and lasting. This incredible dynamic that God's love gives you through His Son Jesus Christ, peace with Him. If you want to test this from a theoretical point of view, to see if God really loves you, to see if God has really given you His peace, then do this simple test. This is from James McDonald in the States. Breathe. Then breathe again. God loves you. God's love is evident in the fact that He's given you breath to breathe. If you were not loved by God, you wouldn't live. God loves you. He gives you His peace. And here we have this dynamic that we are able to have true peace with God, rest with Him. He could be our neighbor. He's not offended anymore walking alongside of us by our own sin. He can be with us more than He could be with Abraham. Through Christ, we have peace with God. So the first thing that we can see here, we have peace with God. And Paul continues and goes on and says something amazingly and from a verb tense point of view, because he says, we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. It's kind of, it's one of those challenges to our brain, because he says we've gained access into it, which would mean that we're outside of it, and we go into the grace in which we're now standing. Doesn't seem to make much sense. But the dynamic that's such is through God's peace, you have in fact already attained, already won, already been established in God's grace in which you stand. Which you stand, standing in the ancient world means that you could have confidence before God, standing before Him. But you still have gained access into it. Paul's working with an incredible image here because he's talking about a status that we have to choose to enter into that we can be established in. Let me share with you this way. It's kind of as if we have been granted visa, citizenship, status, wealth, the ownership of land, and yet we're not yet arrived there. We've not yet landed into that inheritance. But it's there for us. It's secure. It's the only reason, actually, that you can get on an airplane. You have to have a ticket, and you have to be able to land where you're going to land. You have to have the rights to do that. That's why you're on this airplane today, because you already have the right to land at our destination. You have been granted access. And we have this hope of the glory of God. Hope of God's glory, which sustains all of this that we're getting, God's peace, God's grace. The hope of God's glory that does not put us to shame. In other words, we will never be embarrassed hoping on God, and we will never be disappointed in the destination that we're going to. We have a hope that does not put us to shame. Amidst life struggles, we can know that this hope that we seek, the hope that we have been saved from God's wrath. And it will not disappoint. I asked Andrew if I could share a story from his youth. We were going to Florida, Janet and David and Andrew and myself. We were going to Florida for the first time, to all the delights that are in Florida. On our way to Florida, we talked about the things that were there. Jan's mom, Nancy, was going to be there. My parents were going to be there. And we talked to Andrew and David, 3 and 5 years old, all the way down on this flight of what was going to be there. They got more and more excited and talked about their experience and looked at the brochures of where we were going. And we landed in the airport and started to collect our luggage. And Andrew just grew quiet and serene and thinking about something. We got to the top of the escalator, standing at the top of the escalator waiting for you to Andrew and David could look down and see their grandparents waiting at the bottom, all excited, tanned, waiting for them to come down. Andrew burst into tears. And he turned to Janet and said, "Mommy, this is not Florida. This is an airport." His expectations, his hope, his anticipations of being with his family and being in the most spectacular place on the earth at this point, at 3 years old, was hindered by the fact that when he was still in the airport, it was disappointing to him. 2 weeks later, we boarded a flight, and he excitedly, with the stuffed animals he was holding on to, chattered on and on about how great of a time he had in Florida. We have to consult God's word to understand where we're going to, what our destination is. Part of the challenge of as we anticipate this destination is that there is a process. And the process that we're about, I know for many of you, process is not a very attractive word. It's not a word that you'd really get out of bed and come to church on Sunday morning to hear me talk about process. But process is in this text. Until we reach our final destination, we seek to understand this process. What is this grace and hope and peace that we're looking for? How does it become entrenched in us? Because the great promise of Scripture is that these things are being built in us while we're still here. What is this process? Well, the first thing that we see here in 5 verse 1 is a process of justification. Acquittal. Being declared righteous before God, being restored through faith, having your status changed, like the prodigal son having a new robe put on him, a ring on his finger, and being cleaned up before the Father. There's a process. Justification is the process whereby through Christ, we have been able to stand before God. And it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, by faith, we stand. It's through faith that we are justified to God. He's the one that does all the justification work. We accept it. He won our victory. And alongside this process of justification, right standing before God, is a process of sanctification, being cleaned up along the way. This maturity that comes about, and this is where our stopovers come into it. All of you have experienced it in some ways. Sometimes when we think about these words, we think about the most suffering, the most perseverance, the most character building. It applies to all kinds of dynamics of our life. Even the little irritations are part of this. Because Paul talks about that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. It's this process that comes about as we're being perfected. You can see it in your lives. Just think about it. It's a maturity. The last process after justification and sanctification is salvation. You see, when we were still powerless, when we couldn't do any of this ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul repeats it down in verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since now we've been justified by His blood, we have this process that goes about, that goes on. All of this peace and grace and hope, even the process of transformation, is built on God's passion. God's passion for us. What ultimately sustains us? Passion. God's passion. When you look up passion in the dictionary, what's interesting in the dictionary that I looked at is the first definition of passion is the sufferings of Jesus Christ from the Last Supper to crucifixion. Passion, Greek word for passion, is suffering. Christ's suffering. Intense suffering, which brought about a result. Second definition, of course, is intense and overpowering emotion. You see, God's in the background of all of this. His passion for you. This is one of those texts where I think it's helpful to read from the bottom up in terms of reading chronologically. what came about. And we can see here first in verse 8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, chronologically, when you think about it, before your family tree had any roots at all, before your country was established, before your ethnos or your culture had been solidified, God gave Christ to all nations. Before, as Paul says, we were sinners, Christ died for us, or while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much that then verse 5 says, God's love, after Christ suffered on the cross, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Paul writing, post the Holy Spirit's entry into human beings, God poured out his love. And this is where it turns to application for us. Because Christ died for our sins, willingly gave his life on the cross, knowing that he would be revived by God, knowing that he would have to have God turn his face from him, he willingly went and died. After that, the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. And to every person who's read this text, and for you today, you have a decision. Because what Paul says first here in context is he says, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We live for God, he's saying. We boast in his glory because ultimately that's what drives the whole process. We boast in his glory and we also glory in our sufferings. That's the tough one. But you have demonstrated it to me, various people in our congregation, in their lives, in your lives, have said, I know I'm struggling with this, but praise be to God. That's not a philosophically acceptable thing in our world to do. I'm suffering, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, praise God. It's not natural. It's not something that we typically do in our world. But the choice for you, understanding that God's peace is yours, it's established for you. Through faith you can have it. God's peace is yours. The process of you being changed into the best person you can become is happening. In fact, God does not keep from us our sufferings, even when we beg him to. He knows better than that. He knows how we need to change. And there is a process coming about. Hear me in this, though. The process that's coming about cannot be handled alone. It's the context of church. It's the reason why we come together to support each other. Because I have not experienced anyone in my life who's been able to struggle alone and has done that better or with success than someone who struggles with the community around them. It calls us to struggle together, to suffer together, to persevere together. That's what church is about. To cry together, to laugh together, in grief and in joy. Through all of this, though, really, the peace and the process and God's passion leads us to our final destination. Our final destination is something that's described in Scripture, and its descriptions blow my mind. It's described in Scripture as almost indescribable. Paul himself says that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. It's, as I said early, not something that's going to disappoint you. Nobody will be in heaven saying, I thought it was going to be bigger. No one's going to go to heaven and say, is this all there is? But a couple people have been able to describe it in their own words, and I want to share this with you. One person who experienced a near-death experience described heaven this way. First of all, words are inadequate. He wrote, heaven is a place of imagination, a lively, hilarious place that's unbelievably sweet, serene, melodious. It's characterized by its vivid greenness, It's crystalline cleanliness. It's newness. It's all-pervading music and overall beauty, all of which is maintained by God. It's a vigorous, lively place with an overflowing happiness that's uncontainable. It's not a place of rest because no one there ever gets tired. Everything is pure. Everything is kept in place by God's all-pervading master vibration, which prevents aging. That's why things don't get dirty or wear out, and why everything looks so bright and new. Wow. Another person, a poet, Henry Vaughan, began his poem this way. I saw eternity the other night, like a great ring of pure and endless light, all calm as it was bright, and round beneath it, time, in hours and days and years, driven by the spheres, like a vast shadow moved, in which the world and all her train were hurled. Let me share one more with you. Don Whiteson, who also had a near-death experience, wrote this. Think of stepping on the shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. I know for some of you that when you land, your spirit's lifted because flights aren't something that you enjoy. Landing in your destination, like Andrew, with great anticipation that you are where you should be, and you'll never be disappointed. That's where our destination is. That's what we're focusing on. Even through the process, even through the peace that we seek to have every day, or to remove those things that stands in the way of that peace, it's the destination that we're seeking. I want you to stand, and we'll read together this final words from the captain. The captain, our Lord Jesus Christ, said this to us. Let's read together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.